You're listening to Unraveling. This podcast brings together a collection of raw, authentic conversations about the messy truth of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I have created Unraveling to explore both my own and others' inspiring journeys to reconnect back to themselves. Unraveling is an expression of both the highs and the lows of everyday life and covers a medley of topics inspired by my own adventures, from magical mysticism, mental health and menstruation, to self-expression, co-creation, and personal evolution through movement, meditation and intuitive practices that help us remember and reclaim our true essence. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful process of unraveling. Now, let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 17 of Unraveling. So last week I took a little break because I was off teaching a retreat in France. And this week I am not entirely sure where this conversation is going to go, if I'm totally honest. I mean, I think I probably say that at the beginning of most episodes, but I don't have a set plan. I don't have a set specific kind of title in mind for this, so we'll see what comes up once I've recorded it and once I have just downloaded whatever information wants to come through me today. I think one of the things, if you've listened to many of my episodes, you will have probably heard me asking all my guests what their current messy truth is, and I thought actually today maybe I might unravel some of my messy truths, which I often share, you know, in different parts of the podcast and on my blog and on my Instagram and stuff like that. But I thought today that I would kind of talk about quite a big messy truth in my life, and that is my yoga teaching journey and where it's at right now. Because in all honesty, I'm not really sure where it's at. I thought maybe I'll just go back to the beginning of my yoga journey and actually talk a little bit about that process and where it's taken me, what I've learned, the gifts I've kind of gained from it, and where I'm up to now. Because I've just decided and actually taught my last kind of scheduled group class at the retreat at the weekend, and have no more classes booked in or timetabled for the foreseeable future. And that's been quite a difficult decision of mine, because for the last 2 and a bit years, I have defined myself under the title of yoga teacher. But for some reason, I am being strongly guided to let this part of me go. It's not an easy decision by any means. It's been something I guess I've almost battled with it since I started teaching, because there's been this kind of head and heart part of me, and there's so much I love about teaching, and then there's so many things that I find really hard and challenging and actually quite exhausting. So yeah, if you heard some funny noises, I have a sleeping dog behind me and I couldn't bear to kick her out of the room, so she quite possibly might jump up, snore, bark, whatever. But hey, pickle is part of the unraveling journey as well. I'm also still getting over a bit of a cold, so I'm a bit kind of frog in my throat at times, so you might hear that a little bit. Anyway, let's go back to I think it was 2015 or 2014 when I hurt my back doing some work in the gym. I'd never at this point done yoga in my life. I had done some Pilates and I had always struggled with the relaxation at the end of the class, because I hated being alone with my thoughts and being kind of quiet and still, and it felt too much pressure, and I was actually quite terrified of that space. So I sort of almost dreaded that part of class, which I know sounds crazy, because I know that now it's probably my favourite part of class. But anyway, back then I struggled with it, and after injuring my back and not being able to do the strength training that I wanted to do, somebody suggested that I start practicing yoga. And I very reluctantly agreed to give it a go because I was like, well, what, you know, what have I got to lose? I might as well try. It might help my back. I really came at it from the point of view of this is going to help fix me so I can get back to the gym quicker, or I can get back to doing strength training quicker. And the truth is, actually, the first class I went to, I completely fell in love with the practice, and the time went so quickly, and I loved the movement in the body, and actually my body really, really took to yoga, or took to the postures that I was being taught. I mean, by no means was it anywhere near at that point what I thought it was supposed to look like, but it felt good in my body, and I think it was a really lovely introduction to the practice. So I kind of stuck with that for a while, and then I couldn't make the particular class that I was going to, so I sort of fell off the wagon, but I started doing things online. I became a complete fangirl of Yoga with Adrienne, who I always recommend to anybody that wants to kind of do some online yoga, because her YouTube channel is incredible. So I kind of dabbled with that, and then I found a class, and then I was sort of like, I couldn't find the perfect teacher, if that even exists. I couldn't find the teacher that I really sort of resonated with and that fit in with my schedule. If there was always a resistance, there was always a block in some shape or form. And then I found a local teacher who I really enjoyed his classes, and I was going a couple of times a week, and I got back into this regular practice and being taught, and I loved it. I absolutely really I looked forward to those 90 minutes every single session. It always gave me what I need, not necessarily what I thought I needed. And I also really gained the confidence, and this was probably now at this point we were probably in about 2015. So I had sort of spent 18 months exploring and kind of falling off the yoga wagon, getting back on it and sort of dabbling with it. All the time I had in the back of my mind, oh, it would be really cool to do my yoga teacher training at some point. But I sort of was like, no, you haven't been practicing for long enough. You aren't good enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not like bendy enough. You can't do a handstand or a headstand. I had all these little critical thoughts that sort of tried to stop me. But as I explored this class in a little bit more, I started to get my confidence. The teacher was really encouraging, and I sort of mentioned at one point, oh, I'm kind of thinking about doing my teacher training, and he was really encouraging, and I sort of thought he would have told me that I wasn't good enough, or I shouldn't do it, or, you know, he would have sort of tried to put me off, but he really didn't. So I eventually plucked up the courage in the beginning of 2016 to commit to booking my yoga teacher training. Now, I looked at lots of different methods of yoga teacher training, and quite often people will ask me about what's the best teacher training and how did you choose and have you got any recommendations? And the honest truth is, it's really personal, and for some people it needs to be done locally and over a longer period of time and with a teacher that they really know. For other people it feels really exciting and adventurous to go off and immerse yourself in it in another country, perhaps with a teacher you've found online or somebody's recommended. But even with recommendations, like, it's so personal. That person that's going to guide you into this this teaching and train you, you have to really follow your instincts with that. And that's exactly what I did when I chose my teacher training. I looked at lots of the London-based schools, and I looked at lots of kind of abroad places, but none of them jumped out to me. None of them felt right until I very spontaneously hashtag searched on Instagram YTT, which stands for Yoga Teacher Training, and an image came up that really grabbed my attention, and I clicked on it, and it was advertising yoga teacher training in Costa Rica in the month of July, which was the only full month I could have done that year. with a lady called Lauren, who runs Yoga Academy International. She's Canadian, and she really just felt like the right thing to do. So I Skyped her within about half a day, and then within 24 hours I'd put my deposit down and I'd book my flight. So it was very spontaneous, very instinctive, and it just felt right. And that's the only way I can describe it. There was no, I obviously did do some research, and I knew that the style of yoga suited what I wanted. And I knew that there was a good focus on anatomy, which was something that was really important to me. And Lauren is very sort of hot on really educating yoga teachers to keep their students safe. And that was one of my main priorities, was to learn how to safely teach other people, and to feel confident that I knew enough about anatomy to keep people safe. And of course, there is so much that you learn from teaching itself, but yeah, the course for me was absolutely perfect. It gave me everything I needed. It was intense, so it was a month. I had to travel across to Costa Rica, which, you know, I know everyone says, oh my god, what a hard life. But in all honesty, it was really tough. It brought up so many emotions. Staying in a room with strangers, traveling by myself, being in a country away from home. It also happened over Brexit, and that was really, I sort of got a real, I don't know, it made me, it was a really emotional time. I remember waking up that morning and getting a message to say, like, we've voted to leave. And I was like, I was actually kind of in mourning. It was like a grief. I was crying. It was like really shocking. And then to be so far away from home and surrounded, there was nobody else from the UK on my course. So it did feel very lonely, and being in that intensive environment, not only are you learning, so you've got a lot of information to take on, but you're also being faced with a lot of your kind of inner demons. A lot of your insecurities will come up, a lot of your worries and anxieties. And I'm not saying this to put you off, I'm just, you know, that's the truth of it. And we do have to face these things in order to grow, and that's actually really beautiful. But it's not easy, it's not the easiest, especially when you're not with any of your kind of home comforts or your friends. And I had an amazing support network at home, but obviously they were at home. But physically it was exhausting. We were practicing really intensively every single day. We'd start the days at 6:30 a.m. with a meditation on the beach, which does sound really glamorous, but actually when you have sand and bugs and dogs and, you know, other people, and there's all these distractions, it's actually probably the hardest place to meditate. But nevertheless, it was, you know, magical to spend that kind of half hour or so on the beach. And then we'd go back and we'd have our morning practice, which would be an hour and a half or 2 hours of practice, of physical practice for ourselves. And then we'd have breakfast, and then we'd go into studying for the rest of the morning. We'd have a couple of hours at lunch, which was really beautiful. We'd go and, you know, have shared lunches and have a bit of time just to integrate. And then we'd spend the rest of the afternoon studying. There was a kind of mandatory sunset, a break in the evening, and then we'd have about an hour, get ourselves ready for dinner, have dinner, and then we'd have further studying after that. So it was long days, and we'd have one day off a week, so it was intense. But it was incredible. And what I would say, and someone said this to me before I went, was that even if you aren't going to be a yoga teacher, going and doing your yoga teacher training as an immersion, or either way really, is probably like one of the most incredible self-development tools you could ever do, because it's really, really powerful. It is just, movement in itself obviously is a hugely powerful tool, but to do it that way was just really, really incredible. It really woke me up to so many things, and it put me on a path. It really did. So I came back from my teacher training and I threw myself into teaching, and I was teaching probably about 15 classes a week, including privates and, you know, that sort of thing to start with, which was amazing. on paper, but I absolutely exhausted myself, completely burnt myself out. And I also ended up with injuries. I ended up with really, really strained hamstrings. I ended up with really sore knees. I ended up with like painful wrists. My joints were aching because I was demoing so much in classes and I was kind of constantly weight bearing and putting a lot of pressure on my body, and I wasn't really resting and looking after myself as I should or could have been. So that was kind of a massive learning curve. So I after about, I think, 6 months of teaching in that way, or even maybe less, I realized that there was no way I could sustain that. And it was one of those things where there's kind of this belief that in order to be financially stable as a yoga teacher, you have to literally work every hour of every day. You have to kind of sell your soul to make sure it works. Otherwise, you're not going to be a successful teacher. And I kind of questioned this all the way along, but I still found myself in this having to push all the time. And it just didn't feel good. It did not feel aligned with me. So I ended up kind of stripping the classes right back. And even then, when I look back on it, I had doubts as to whether this was truly, truly my path, whether this was truly, truly my passion, or whether it was kind of part of my journey. And now I look back at that time and I realize I absolutely had to do it. I had to do it that way, and I had to learn in the way I was learning. And every single person that showed up to class taught me something, and I am so grateful for every single person I've ever taught, every person that has come to a class, that has given themselves that time and space and given me that chance to hold space for them, because it's such an amazing gift and I would never ever change any of it, not a single moment. Even the moments when I, you know, like one time I had to actually got to class and I felt so unwell, I had to, like, I'd set all the mats up, everyone got there, and I was like, I'm really sorry everyone, I can't teach, I feel so unwell, I've got to go home. And they were so incredible, like so supportive. And these are the kind of things that you don't want to sort of, I don't know, just make you aware of how incredible humans are, incredible people are. And I've had so much support in the journey, that which has just led me to, I don't know, so much gratitude towards every single person. But when I first started, I was like, I'm doing this, but it feels like maybe this is just a part of my journey rather than the destination. I know for some people they would, you know, they absolutely love every single second of teaching, and I did love every single second of teaching in some ways, but I also found it really, really exhausting. And not exhausting in a way that, you know, I don't want people to think that I didn't enjoy teaching them, because I absolutely did. But I'm a really sensitive person, I'm a giver, I like to I like everything to be perfect, like all of those things really drained me. So it was, a lot of it was like my own pressure, my own sort of self-criticism, and that really drained me. But it's tough to hold space for people all the time, and to be switched on all the time, and to be alert, and to be watching, and to be also sort of, you know, doubting my own abilities, doubting whether I was good enough to be there, constantly having to work through that belief that I wasn't good enough, I didn't know enough, I hadn't done enough training, and that people were gonna catch me out, and I was saying the wrong thing, and all of those doubts would come up time and time again, always kind of facing me with those demons of, am I good enough? But I do believe that that is part of my lessons. You know, I've struggled with those things all my life, and yoga teaching has helped me break through some of those barriers. So yeah, fast forward a little bit to, I think it was the end of 2017, when I'd been teaching for about 18 months, I decided to let go of the studio I was teaching in, and I wasn't really sure where I was going to be going next. I started teaching in a village hall for like just one class a week, but again, I was like, it just doesn't feel quite right. So I let all of it go, and then in came the most amazing opportunity to join the three amazing teachers at Kingdom Yoga in Penshurst. And this space is incredible. It's basically like a treehouse in the middle of this beautiful sacred land. It's magical. It's utterly, utterly magical. And it renewed my kind of enthusiasm for teaching, because being in that space, it really helped me. It energized me, being surrounded by nature, being in this really beautiful open space. It was stunning. And I didn't teach huge amounts there. I taught, you know, a regular Monday morning class, and I started to try and teach in the evenings, and I realized very soon, and which I've, you know, come up against time and time again. Again, this comes back to aligning with what works for you, not necessarily what you're supposed to do or what everyone says you should do. Evenings, I'm just not at my best. I'm not an evening person. I'm a early morning person, I'm a daytime person, I'm an afternoon person, but evenings, they're really sacred to me, actually. My evenings are a time for me to retreat and replenish, and I love being at home, I love cooking, I love having that time, and I really resented not having that time to myself. So I quickly kind of realigned myself when I realized that I was teaching on an evening because I felt like I should, but not because I really, really wanted to. And again, I had some beautiful classes. I shared some amazing space with some wonderful people, and again, got to meet some new faces and got to share my practice with them. And that was really incredible. But again, just kind of realigning myself, I had to be very brave and just say no. So a couple of months ago, or a month or so ago, really, I just kept receiving this kind of guidance of, you need to let go of your yoga teaching. You need to let go of your yoga teaching. And I've resisted it and resisted it and resisted it, and kind of thought I could maybe trick it and think, you know, like, well, I'll just teach this or I'll just teach that. And the truth is, I need a break. I need a break away from it. I need to create some space for me to come back to the practice and to see if I miss it enough to really, for it to be this part of my life. And it will always be a part of my life because it's led me here. But the truth of it for me now with my yoga practice is it's evolved so, so much. When I started, it was for rehabilitation for my back. It was to start to learn to help my breathing. It was to help me with my anxiety. And it did all of those things and more. It led me to meditation, which is now one of my most like prized things. It led me to yoga nidra, which I'm going to be delving into more. It's led me to trusting my body and given me the confidence in my strength and my ability, but also has made me accept my body for exactly how it is in every single moment. Because no class, my body does not feel the same in any single class, in any practice whatsoever, because every single day we're different. And some days I can do something, some days I can't, and there will be frustrated moments, there will be joyful, kind of excited moments. And the practice constantly reminds me to connect in and to accept where I'm at in that day without any judgment on myself. And that's been probably one of the biggest learnings from my yoga practice and from my teaching. Both my own practice and my teaching has taught me that. So I have bitten the bullet and I have let go of all of my classes and all of my teaching. And it's scary because financially I haven't got anything to fill that space at the moment. I kind of have used, well, not used, but I've been under the label of yoga teacher for a couple of years now. And it feels a little bit unsettling to not remove that from me, but to actually kind of go back to that space of I'm not sure how to describe my work and what I'm doing. Obviously, there are other things that I do as well, like my coaching and my meditation and my writing and my marketing consultancy and that side of things. But yoga teaching, I suppose there is a little bit of ego attached to being a yoga teacher, you know, like it has got connotations, and it does feel good to be able to put myself in that space. But the truth is, it doesn't light me up like it does other people. And I see there's so many amazing yoga teachers now kind of showing up, and they're so passionate about it, and you can see how much they love it. And I just don't feel that way at the moment. And I think it's a stage that I'm in. I think it's partly exhaustion, if I'm totally honest, from, you know, energetically, I'm quite drained. It's been a roller coaster couple of years. It's been a real roller coaster of kind of coming back to myself and coming back home to me and finding out who I am. And there is no way I would have even begun that journey without yoga. So I'm so grateful for it. And I don't know where it's going to take me. I know that movement is so powerful and so important to the work I do, and it will always play a part, whether that's physical postures of yoga in a sort of in the way that people expect. I don't know. I feel more drawn to intuitive movement and dance and kind of really coming back to this expressive way of moving our body, this like dynamic dance on the mat that isn't about postures and is about feeling good. And it's not about alignment. It's about just feeling into our bodies and being in our bodies, because I mean, I was not in my body for so long. And I think there's a lot of people that are not in their bodies. And it's, you know, it's really important to me. So I think yoga or movement is always going to play a part. And I absolutely know meditation is a huge part of my path. And perhaps I have to let go of the yoga asana side of things to make way for the meditation and the yoga nidra side of things. I don't know. And I'm being very honest and open right now in saying that I don't know where this is going to take me. I just am working on trusting. Trust has definitely been my main focus of practice for the last several years. And if anything is highlighting the need to trust, it is this point in my journey with yoga. I'm really excited to get back to the mat for myself. I feel like in this last couple of years, and this is another sort of truth bomb for when you become a yoga teacher. And again, I don't say this to put people off, but I say this because your own practice changes significantly when you become a teacher and when you are teaching other people. It's less for you and more for others. And even when I've tried really hard to focus on it being just my practice, I have definitely lost that connection with it. And you know what? I miss it. My heart misses my practice. It misses going to a class and being guided and letting someone else hold the space for me. I really, really miss that. And I'm so excited to explore that a little bit more and explore other methods of movement that feel good and see where that takes me as well, because it feels exciting. It feels really exciting, if not a little unnerving. And I pulled a card, actually. You know me and my little magical, mystical tools. I pulled a card just before this call. It's cool, this conversation before I recorded this. And it was what lights you up. And I feel like I've almost got to the point where I can't keep hiding from myself when something doesn't feel in alignment with me anymore. Before, I could bury my head in the sand, I could pretend it didn't exist, and eventually it'd come come through to me and I'd realize that I had to change something. But now I think because I'm so much more connected to my heart and soul and what I really, really desire in my life, I can't hide anymore from that. I can't pretend. I can't be that person that sort of fakes it, if that makes sense. And I'm not saying I have been faking it at all, because every single time I've taught recently, it has come from the heart and it has come from my intuition and it has come from such a raw place. And actually, by doing that, I've enjoyed it even more. And I've really loved the last few classes I've taught, which is, I don't know, it feels really lovely to sort of pause. I'm not saying end, to pause on that note, because I think stopping now means that I won't get to the point where I'm not enjoying it at all. And that might sound a bit crazy to some people, you know, to stop doing something that you do still enjoy. And I do still enjoy it. But I think if I carry on and I don't listen to this instinctive nudge, I will get to the point where I don't enjoy it. And I don't want to show up like that. I don't want to be in that space. It's too much of an important role to play for people to show up and not really want to be there. I just can't do that. It doesn't feel authentic to me. So to actually pause it in a place where I'm still enjoying it, but I just know it's not quite the right thing for me to do at the moment, feels really good. And I am following what lights me up. And right now that is space. What lights me up now is the space to explore things for myself, to come back to practices that feel really good for me, and to learn again. I mean, I've got a couple of things in the pipeline that I'm doing in terms of training, and they light me up. They really excite me, and I want the space to enjoy those things. And that means maybe having to let go of some other things, which hasn't been an easy decision. And especially when I've made so many incredible friends through teaching, and I've met so many wonderful people, and yeah, it felt like I was letting everyone down by not teaching anymore. And I just had to really remind myself that I'm not here just to serve other people. I'm here to serve myself as well. And I think when we're in a role of kind of giving and working with others and helping others sort of heal and replenish themselves, it can be really hard to do things for yourself, because it feels like you're being selfish. But I have to devote myself to my work, yes, but ultimately I have to devote myself to myself. And that's a message that this sort of process has really taught me, in that I have to honor myself, because if I don't, again, these little intuitive nudges keep coming up. I keep getting kind of pushed into certain directions, and something doesn't feel right. And yeah, I'm having to listen to them quite intently. Yeah, that's my kind of current messy truth, I guess, is that I'm faced in this place of not knowing where certain things are going to take me, and that's okay. It's exciting. I am following the curiosity nudges in terms of, you know, the next steps. I still will be offering my coaching, and I will still be working on meditations online, and those will be soon available, which is really exciting. And I'm off to do my Yoga Nidra teacher training in a couple of weeks in Canada, which I cannot wait for, because both Canada and Yoga Nidra are calling me at the moment. And then, yeah, I don't know where it's going to take me right now, but it feels good to just follow the curiosities. And I'm really grateful to be able to have the space to explore this. And I have that space because I do my yoga teaching and things like that, but I also work as a marketing consultant and a kind of content creator for an amazing company in the healthcare world. And that enables me to explore these other areas as well. So it's, you know, that's the truth of it. It's not all, you know, running your own business isn't all rosy and shiny and disappearing off on trips. You know, obviously there is a need for financial security and stability, and that's fundamental to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do these things. So I am very grateful for that. And if you're in a space where something doesn't feel, you know, 100% aligned at the moment, but you can see it as part of the path to where you want to get to, then that's okay. You know, for some people, you know, we need to work out what our values are and what's important to us. And for me, it is stability and security, and also doing something and working in an area that really really does light me up. And actually, as much as it sounds crazy, I love content creation, and I love working in an industry that gives me that is actually really helping people, and to be able to support a team in that way is really incredible. So I love that balance. I love the balance of being able to do lots of different things. That really excites me and energizes me. So it's kind of like finding the things that light you up. Again, coming back to that, what lights you up? And there are always ways. I'm not a believer in there only being one way to do things. My favorite quote, which I'm sure you've heard me say before, is when nothing is certain, anything is possible. And I really do believe that. And that's what's exciting about creating this space from my yoga teaching at the moment. There is going to be things that I'm going to be announcing soon, an amazing retreat in Austria next year. There will be some other things coming up, which I'm really excited about. But for now, my timetabled yoga teaching classes are on pause. And that's my messy truth right now. And I don't know what's next. So, yeah, that was my ramble. And I'm not even, you know, I'm hoping it, if nothing else, it just gives you some sort of insight into what is going on in my world right now. But also just the fact that, you know, we're allowed to change our mind and pivot and shift, and to really listen into those nudges, those intuitive nudges. And sometimes the things that we are nudged towards do not make sense on paper. They don't necessarily make sense. You might be questioning them, but I think you know deep down when your, you know, heart and soul is craving something, or is when something just won't leave you alone, or is a thought that constantly comes up. I think you know. So yeah, I would just encourage you to at least plant a seed in those curiosity sort of paths and see where they take you. And just keep asking yourself, what does light you up? What does feel good? What feels light? What feels heavy? This is one thing that I constantly ask myself. If something feels heavy and it sort of physically drains me and makes me feel closed up and contracted, then that's usually a sign that it's not in alignment. When something feels exciting and expansive, and sometimes, you know, there's fear there. So don't mistake necessarily something that scares you as something that is not in your path, because actually most of the things that I've done have scared me. You know, booking my yoga nidra training has scared me. Letting go of my yoga classes has scared me. In fact, most of the things and the big leaps I have made have all brought fear to me, but they've also felt light and expansive and exciting. And I think we really have to listen into those, because we have one life. We have one life in this incarnation, depending on what your beliefs are, and life is too short to do things that don't fill you with joy. And I remember when I first set up my first business at the age of 21, I just used to remind myself, you know, like, life is too short to do a job that I really don't enjoy. And I still wholeheartedly stand by that, because we spend a lot of our time working. And it's not serving us to spend the bulk of our lifetime doing something that really drains us and makes us feel crap about ourselves or doesn't light us up. There are so many opportunities now, and so many ways that we can explore these things, even if it's not necessarily in your work. There are other, you know, ways you can create passion projects and delve into to other things that make you light you up. But I think I've rambled for long enough today. So thank you for listening, as always. If you want to continue the conversation, please join me on Unraveling Deeper in the Facebook group. You can find the link in the show notes. If you have questions about yoga or changing direction or anything really that's in relation to this episode or any of the episodes, then please do, you know, you can send me an email, lauren@laurenbarber.co. You can get in touch via Instagram. You can find me on most of the social media channels. And also, if you want to receive my little wild love letters, which go out every week, or will be going out every week, then sign up to my newsletters on the website, because I just send kind of very raw, unplanned, sort of edited little notes that, I don't know, sometimes they just seem to reach the right people on the right days. It's just very much kind of from the heart. So thank you once again. If you enjoy this episode, please share it. Please subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, always say that wrong, or Spotify or Stitcher. And yeah, keep enjoying the beautiful, messy, unraveling process.